Like Louis Armstrong, break the trumpet, I'll hit that bong and break you off something soon. I got to get my props. Cops come and try to snatch my crop.
Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock with me, The Solution, and joining me today is Christina.
Good evening, Solution.
How are you going?
Oh, not too bad, thanks. Not too bad.
It's good to hear. With us is Fiona.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, feeling a bit tired after the antics of yesterday, all day yesterday. How about you?
Antics is a good way to describe it. And with us is Jez.
Solution, how you going?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm good.
Does anyone want to have a go other than me at describing Jez right now? Shall I do it? So he's basically, he's in his bed, we found out. Not in his bed, he's lying on his bed. Is that fair, Jez?
Yep, that's accurate. Yep.
When he logged on, he was in the dark. I'll tell you what, frightening sight. And now he's got a filter on, but you look, yeah, I don't know how to describe you, mate.
I don't look very pleasant, that's for sure.
Well, that's normal. How would you describe it, Christina?
Well, sort of, he looks like one of those old school lighthouse men that have their sailor hat on with a big high turtleneck, and he's just all in silhouette. Kind of looks like this creepy sailor man.
Yeah, creepy is the word. Sailor man. lighthouse man. Yeah. Remember the old Scottish lighthouse guy from Dad's Army, Jez?
I remember Dad's Army. I don't remember the lighthouse guy.
Okay. All right. Anyway, we've rambled on enough. Can I repeat myself from last week? Is that okay? Because it was a repeat of last week in performance. Do people realise we have Stringer out? We have Ridley out. We have Draper out. We have Scheel out. Arguably, four of our top six players, maybe.
And Setterfield.
And Setterfield as well, yeah. I wouldn't argue he's in our top. Well, maybe the way he played at the start of the year, top 10. But, like, I asked this question last week, and it's happening again. People are losing their mind. Why? Why are people losing their mind over a season that's done, that's corked? And are we just arguing because we need to argue as a fan base? What is going on? You start, Jeremy.
What do you mean the season's done? We're ninth. We've moved up to ninth.
We're not going to win the next two games.
We are knocking on the door.
Knocking on the door. The door's closed. The door's reinforced.
Our great percentage means that we've moved past GWS and now we're ninth.
We have no keys to the door.
There's we may be knocking, but we're not coming nowhere.
That's right. We might be knocking, but no one's answering. We're like Jehovah's Witnesses. We might be knocking on the door, but we're not getting any love. Fiona, give us some sense.
You know what I think it is? I think it's because when you walk away from a win, you should feel a little bit of delight, and it didn't feel like that. It doesn't feel like, and I say it again, when a win feels, when the team win but the fans don't, that's what it kind of felt like. So it was a win. It was 4 points, but it certainly didn't feel good. So that's why I think everyone's just reacting to their immediate emotion, and I get that. But the reality is that we're still mathematically a chance, but we need to win the next two. I think a bit of perspective is probably being lost with our three best players out in Ridley, Draper, and as you said, Scheel. Ridley.
Gotcha.
You did get me. Ridley, our three of our most important on every line. So back, centre, and forward, all missing a key component. So pretty significant.
Christina, what have you got to add?
I was working during the game, and with very bad reception where I was working. So I could only kind of go to this one spot and look at kind of people's Twitter comments. And I went, oh, okay, oh, this sounds terrible, awful. So then I got home and I watched the replay and I went, well, no one mentioned that guy kicked a goal. No one mentioned this play. This has actually turned out all right. So people's reactions were making it seem much worse than what I thought it was, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean,
I knew the ending. I knew what happened in the end, but I was like, oh, there were a few okay moments.
Yeah, so. There's lots that wasn't great, and we'll probably touch on those, but I don't know why people are jumping off cliffs. I don't know why we're all lemmings trying to commit hurry-curry, but anyway. Fiona, I'm going to give you the Herd and the Henneman.
How are you?
And yes, and I reckon, do you want to just meander through that and then we'll probably diverge to points in the game and we'll take it from there?
Okay, who would you like me to start with? Herd or Henneman?
Well, traditionally the Herd goes first.
Right, okay. So some contenders. I'd say Langford had another really good game. He could have ended up with six. I think he had six shots. But another good game from him. He's so pure in his leading and so pure in his kicking for goal. It's beautiful to watch. Who else? I'd give another little shout out to the second half of Hines' game. I thought the first half he was back to his crazy kind of, just run and quick kick without thought self, but he did up.
Can I just, like, even though I'm sort of preaching big picture, I was tearing my hair out with Hind yesterday.
But second half, he came good.
Yeah.
Close to end of third quarter to fourth, he did come good. So kudos to him for that. Who else had a good game? Martin, of course, who could have easily won this award, but he was fantastic. And look, I know people are having kittens that he's not playing on the wing, but he's not a complete player. He's still a young boy. Mm. So giving him a well-rounded education is not a bad thing. We don't have to pin-pocket him on the wing and keep him there for life. It's going to do him good to get a few other ingredients in his pot at other ends of the ground. So I think he stepped up at various parts of the game and was beautiful in his kicking again. BZP, I thought, even though I know he had five goals or however many kicked on him from Larky, I thought he did as good as he could. And, of course, your boy, Baldwin. Brilliant. Well and truly passed the other key defender, and I say that in inverted commas. He was brilliant again, and if he's dropped, it's a travesty.
He'll get dropped. I don't want to blow my own horn, toot my own horn, blow my own trumpet. I called for him at the start of the year, and he's not let me down. Can I shout out somebody?
Mm.
Sammy Durham is a really – he gets a lot of players out of jail with his ability to lead and mark sort of through the middle wing area. So he presents really, really well. And the amount of times, like, guys have just got no one to kick to, and he leads and he takes the mark. For a guy who's not that – you don't view him as a tall he provides an outlet to a lot of guys.
He's a bit kamikaze with his actions too sometimes, which can cause a bit of chaos, which is good. I just need him to stick tackles. I just can't. Just a few too many missed tackles for me yesterday. But other than that, yeah, he was very good.
He's got noodle arms. He's got noodle arms, unfortunately.
Yep. Jess, anybody else want to shout out? Yeah. Sorry, I just took your thunder.
Perfect.
Well, Matt, did we mention Darcy? I thought he was just awesome.
Hello.
Yeah.
I'm giving the contenders, not the winner.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah, no, good.
Spoiler alert.
Are you new here? Is this your first rodeo?
he was good. I thought Redman had a good game as well. Sartis is not a nomination, right? But I don't know if anyone saw his stats. I didn't really notice him at the ground much. I'll notice his goal, of course. But he got like 23 touches. He had a heap of clearances. He had a heap of centre bounce attendances. A heap of score involvements. You know, that just made me very excited to see. I just didn't notice him as much at the game, but he obviously had a ripping game.
I noticed him a lot. I thought he butchered a lot of the ball, but I loved his ground ball work and his little twinkle toes. In a few more, get half a season into him, he's going to burst away from packs and you won't be able to catch him. Yeah. He's going to be very special, but I thought he butchered his disposal a lot yesterday.
There's a little bit of panicking, I think, at times.
That's right, yeah. And that's why that is the least of your worries when you're skill kind of errors. He'll clean that up. But that dash, it's like two or three steps once he's got the ball, and it is lightning. It is special.
He did very well to kick that goal. I mean, he was under some heat, and it was a big moment, and it never looked like missing. That was pretty good.
Christina, you got anyone you want to shout out?
No, I think that's everyone covered.
What about Hobbs?
His quarter was good.
Yeah, I thought he really rose to the occasion. Very easy to forget how young he is.
Yeah. His fourth quarter was, I reckon, pretty pivotal in the win, to be quite honest with you. But, I think hands down, I know Martin – his scorecard probably looks better overall, but the game is lost without Parrish. He was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. It was a complete game from him. He was merit was a non-factor in my eyes, which, you know, he got tagged and didn't really work through it well. But Parrish was, he's not there, we don't win. Simple as that for 100%.
Me. Can we keep it? A lot of people talking about, obviously, his contract, and that speculation will continue to rumble on until, you know, we get an outcome. We can't afford to lose him, really, surely.
No. He's the way that he just hunts the ball and just keeps going, like, contest after contest. And along with Martin and, like, he was quite one of our most prolific forward 50 kickers. Sometimes they hit the target, sometimes they don't, but just his ability and will to win the ball, we don't have many players like him. So
I tell you what, he does miss like a bit of a foil, like an outside mid that he can handball to running past. Maybe, Jez, we're missing Sheil a bit more than we think.
Yeah, well, at the start of the year, he and Zach had a beautiful thing going, sort of 1-2s with Darcy getting the hard ball and Merritt running past for it. Yeah, I mean, I think he should, I've said it before, should never kick. He should always hand pass. And we're missing Sheil, but Darcy is fine. Can we afford to lose him? I don't think that's sort of what people are thinking. You can have a debate. I mean, if we get some sort of deal that's too good to refuse, then we will replace him. But no one else on our list gets anywhere near the clearance numbers he does. And at the coalface, he is our best by a mile. We're all fans on this podcast of Darcy.
Am I the only one who's finding Jez's background super distracting? Like, I'd almost rather.
I'm just watching the birds, to be quite honest. There's birds floating around his head.
I took my glasses off.
Yeah. I'd almost rather just the dark exorcist type scenario I had before. Anyway, so I take it that the herd is Darcy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't think anybody could argue. Even his detractors would agree, surely, that he was BOG.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. The Henneman Award.
Look, I'm really only thinking it's a toss-up between two. So maybe you guys can give me reasons. You can preach a case for both. So it's between Laverty and Guelphy, I'd suggest. And just maybe Guelphy's pressure acts, a couple of pressure acts in the fourth, maybe lets him not get another Henneman. Maybe, but mount a case for them for me. Anybody?
No one's wanting to mount a case.
Okay.
I wondered whether at three-quarter time Scott said, mate, you realise your career's on the line? Because he was a different player in that last quarter to anything I've seen this year.
He's actually – we suggested that he'd be in the negatives. I called him for the sitting Joe on the forecast. We suggested he'd be in the negatives, and he was. He could not have looked to give less of a shit if he tried in a couple of contests in the first three quarters. It was alarming. And I was up to here – not good for a podcast, but I was up to here with – like the tolerance of it from the coaching group. But yeah, I think you could be right. Scott maybe had a little word in his ear, because Menzies was picking up his half of, you know, half of the tab in the forward line, but Guelphy certainly was not.
I mean, the other thing too is even when they look like they look like they're not trying, or they look like they're not working hard to get to a contest, it can be confidence.
I would suggest that that's letting a little bit off lightly, but okay.
Yeah. I'm not, like, to be honest, I didn't even really notice Laverty.
Don't worry about that, Christina. But what Fiona's doing here, this is like mind games. She's given us two names.
Yes.
To distract us from the elephant in the room, which is, why shouldn't Jake Kelly get be in the conversation?
Yeah.
No. You know what this is like?
You know what?
That's a good one.
I did not even consider him.
Can I describe it? It's a bit
you can't call him. He's in a position that's not his position. He's going where the coach tells him. Sorry,
you know,
Lord.
You know what I used to say to my daughter? Is like, she's struggling to get her to eat veggies. I say, darling, completely your choice. What would you like, broccoli or cauliflower? You tell me. And she'd think about it and go, no, yeah, broccoli, Dad, definitely broccoli. That's what it feels a little bit like. I think I've got I had two nominations, actually, that I wanted to add.
You can put up Kelly if you like, but it's Guelphy and Laverty daylight, and then Kelly and whoever else you want to put in there. That's all.
I thought Kelly was one. You meant your case, Jez, for Kelly, for the elephants.
He's clear. I mean, he was being played in the forward line. Like, he started the game in the forward 50, which was just bizarre. I'm a fan. We're all a fan. He's just been played out of position, and he was all at sea up forward this week. And he didn't do much all day. Had a couple of moments he probably would like to take back. I didn't think he was great. But, I mean, it's Fiona's award. He's never going to get it.
So. But it's also not his fault. It's also not his fault. He's not in his prime position.
Yeah, but that's – if I go back to the terms of reference of the Henneman Award and Herd Awards.
Yeah.
Set in stone in that clay tablet as they are, where the coach puts you isn't really the consideration. It's what did you do? What was your output? And yeah, he had a shocker.
Who was your other nomination?
I'm a fan too.
Huh?
My other nomination?
Yeah.
Phillips. The amount of contests he didn't get to, the amount that he was such a net negative when, you know, players were looking for that, who can they kick to, the outlet, they'd kick to Phillips, and the amount of times, you know, I was relatively close to the fence at the North Melbourne end, which I'll talk about a little bit later in the douche of the week award. It's to where I was sitting. They're a special group, the Kangaroos. There were times he just doesn't get. We're kicking to his lead, and he's 2 meters away from the fall of the ball that's been kicked towards him. I know we're not great kicks, granted, but yeah, he was just horrible. And he was below his output in hitouts too. He was kind of pantsed a bit.
I was really disappointed that they subbed Brian off for him, because my mates and I were sitting at the ground, and we were saying, this is not working this week. This two ruckman flips the one that's not giving it to us, because I thought Brian had a good game. I thought he did well.
Yeah,
so too.
But he at least contests.
Yeah.
Like, you don't. And it really is stark when you are at the ground and you see how many contests Phillips doesn't get to. So he doesn't appear on the TV screen. He's not in the frame because he didn't get to the frame. So you don't see his shit work. He falls under the TV radar a little bit. Christina, did you have anyone you wanted to nominate? Are you going to do your usual? Nah, that's about right.
I agree with Kelly. There's actually quite a bit going on that game, like strategically with Scott, and there was a lot of chess pieces and players were being moved all up and down. So sometimes Kelly was down back, sometimes Cox was forward, sometimes Cox was back. So like there was a bit going on. But in terms of, I mean, Snelling, can't really give it to a sub, but he didn't really do much in the quarter that he was on. But
yeah, five buzzies, a few tackles, yeah. Super sub.
But yeah, for me, Kelly just really looked all at sea. Just he was a deer in headlights up forward. So, and I think Guelphy kind of redeemed himself in that last quarter. Just.
So have you been swayed, Fiona? Has anything that's been said?
Okay, then Laverty it is. I felt like those two pressure acts saved Guelphy because they were very important. But I tell you what, I was not impressed. If he hadn't done that, I would have been freaking ropeable if he got picked again next week. It's been a good 4 or 5 weeks stint now where he's been in the negatives, personally speaking, in terms of his performance. So, yeah, all right, then I'll give it to Laverty. I think Baldwin has officially gone past him, and when Ridley comes back, it's a straight swap for Laverty. Baldwin is better, has already gone past Laverty in his intercepting ability. He's a bit more creative than Laverty is. He set up a goal directly. And so, pardon me, yep, Laverty is the Henneman. Didn't think 2 meter Peter had a great game, but I mean, I'm cutting him a bit of slack again as well, because A, I feel like he's earned it, and B, I feel like he's being triple and double teamed, and I think that's part of the reason.
And he took a few marks.
He did, and he kicked a couple of goals, yeah. And I thought it was really good of Scott to put him in there, even with two ruckmen. He put him in the centre bounce to get him some touch, and it worked. It led to a goal, so that's the coaching moves, as referring to your song, the coach makes moves. We like it.
Just echo one of your comments, Fiona, about Baldwin. He's so creative. He runs off. He breaks lines and creates space, and he's an excellent user of the ball.
He waits. Yeah, sorry, Jez. The way he weights his kicks, top tippy top for Peter Wright, perfectly weighted at the perfect. That's when he took his beautiful overhead mark down low, right on the lead for Archie. Perfectly weighted kicks. Sorry, Jez, continue. I cut you off.
No, but it was just he was running off his player and willing to run into space and make space. And you know, it's a long time since I've seen Lav do that sort of thing, that sort of positive running. I was very impressed with Baldwin. He didn't tear up the stats sheet, but he just slotted in. He could not have done any more than he did in his
role. He did not put a foot wrong, and in the first quarter he saved us four times. Four moments where he got a punch in, he marked it, he put a block on, four moments.
He and Zach did a few of those early in particular.
Exactly. And that's a formidable back line in the moving forward to me. Add Ridley, Baldwin, Zerk, hopefully Mackay. That's formidable.
The other thing sorry, you go.
Oh, just the beauty of Baldwin, because he was a forward in his when he came, that if we ever need a bit of a swing man to just mix it up a bit, he also has that ability to kick goals. So, you know, a really good player for us.
We haven't had a swing man for years, and then we did have Hurley and Hooker, but of course, Truck never swang. Truck was definitely a three meat and potatoes missionary man. There was no swinging. The other differential with Laverde and Baldwin, regards to disposal, is Baldwin's progressive. He's looking forward, trying to create. Laverde just does the classic. I said it last week. He goes backwards and high.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of puts pressure on because, he hits the target, he rarely misses the target.
Yep. Yep.
But it's high, and by the time, say, Heppel's got it, he shut down and the move's ended, and they're looking at what do we do next. Any other comments on the game that anyone wants to mention?
I think one thing I was thinking about, what the team looked like at the start of the year versus what the team looks like now, and what Brad has done to introduce the young players. Like, Hobbs wasn't in the start in the first game of the season. Caldwell was playing forward. You know, we had Davey Jr. in the team. Like, he's slowly
Waller.
He's slowly introduced the young players in as we've gone, and he's, you know, at the centre clearance, we had Brian, we had Hobbs, we had Elijah, and we had Archie at a centre clearance.
Yeah.
Elijah's second game. Like, that's insane. And to see that development throughout the course of the year and have all these young guys, but, you know, start of the year, Archie they wouldn't have him at the centre clearance. He wasn't playing there, neither was Caldwell. Like, they might have had, like, one attendance, but now they're, like, regular attendees. So that development, slow and steady development from Brad, is really evident now when you look back at where we were at the start of the year and how the team has changed and evolved with injuries and all that sort of thing. So you can't, if you look at it that way, you think, actually, that's a really positive outcome this year so far.
Agreed.
I will say that for the people who are saying just play the kids, well, we wouldn't have won many games if we just played the kids, because the reason that it got so bad and got so close yesterday was because the kids were in all the stoppages. Yeah. We got pantsed. We got absolutely fucking pantsed, and granted, it was brilliant experience for them. But the reason it was as close as it was and that we didn't put on percentage, and same as last week, is because we had kids in the stoppages. And particularly in our defensive 50, where it matters, and we just got pantsed and killed by North Melbourne's more experienced, bigger-bodied mids. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
Sorry to interrupt.
I was just going to say, if you replace that with Caldwell, Parrish, Merritt, Scheel and Martin on rotation.
Cedarfield
on rotation. Well, that's a very, very, very different outcome in my opinion.
Yep.
And this is where you need to be mindful of the strategy. If we all accept the strategy, there's no problem with it. The strategy is better for the future.
Well, it's everything also a strategy because we need to.
Well, that's right. Needs must, for sure. But everything we're doing is you know, with a view to what's going to happen next year and the year after, and I thought, like, people going on about the different ages of the lists, and you look at the average ages of the lists between the oldest and the youngest, it's like a year and a half, probably. It's kind of meaningless. But you look at the core group that we have and the age of that core group that's going to be propelling us to hopefully the next flag run. They're young. We're building around a young core. That's the important thing.
And it's just so happened that we've lost all our depth in the one line.
Yep.
So our whole midfield's been eradicated basically with injury aside from, I mean, even Darcy missed a bit. Kind of Zach's the only one who's played, Merritt's the only one who's played all the games in there, touch wood. So it's just come from a needs basis, but it will hold us in good stead moving forward.
Mm. Mm. One thing they did mention in the coverage is that in terms of game plan, North Melbourne were playing an extra man at the clearances and Essendon had an extra man down back.
Behind.
So behind the ball. So it was kind of Essendon were kind of backing themselves that they'll be able to rebound the ball out of the back line and hopefully move it forward quickly and forego the clearances and let North Melbourne have those. So that probably also would have affected our clearance work during the game.
I agree. Jez, you're even alive right now. Like, you look like...
No, well, he's in the submarine that went to the Titanic. So we can...
There's that's
no,
right.
There's no pulse left.
Probably not. Probably not. No, he's got good. The bends.
All good. All good. Just waiting for my, you know, waiting to make my contribution.
Yeah, well, we're waiting too. Far away.
No, look, I was reflecting on the game afterwards and it was an improvement on last week. Okay, it was an improvement on last week. But it sort of felt like a trip to the dentist. Like, great, filled with trepidation before I went to the game. And then when I was at the game, it felt like, you know, when you're in the dentist chair and you're lying there and you're trying to sort of relax and you're trying to let the guy do what they're doing, but then you kind of realize you're gripping the shit out of the chair. You know, your hands are, your fingernails are digging into the chair and you're not enjoying any bit of it. And the best bit of it is when it finally ends and it finishes and you sort of pay and you leave and you go, thank fuck, I don't have to do that for another 6 months or 12 months. That's
no, the paying bit isn't fun.
That was what it was like. It was so unenjoyable. Like, yeah. We won. I get it. But it was just sort of fingers down the blackboard the whole time.
I think
there were two bits of play that I got excited about. One was in the first quarter where Zach Merritt did a little intercept in the pocket and then did this beautiful little left foot kick back to someone for one of our first goals. It was just sort of sublime skill. And then the Sartis goal. But other than that, it was just like, I was sitting there with a bloody, it was like I had a stone in my shoe. I just wasn't uncomfortable the whole day.
And that's my, this is how you know how chalkboardy stone in shoe it was. Fiona hasn't even watched the replay yet.
No way.
What?
No, that is because every time I think to put it on, I'm triggered by how bad it felt at the time. That's why it doesn't feel like a win. So that's how you know how bad.
One. You,
I know.
Even the bad ones.
I watched last week, West Coast, straight after. But I felt that yesterday was less enjoyable for me. I felt, yeah. I know you said, Jez, that we were better. I don't know. Maybe it's because I was at the game last week and I wanted to watch it from TV. But I was watching it on TV yesterday. So I don't know. But that's how you know it's bad. I will watch it. I just, probably on my run tomorrow, I'll watch it again. But I just need... Yeah, it wasn't fun. I did not enjoy 1 second of it.
Hang on. You're going to go for a run and watch it? Are you carrying the TV with you?
How does that work? No, on the treadmill. I can't run on the pavement because I've got torn labrums and diseases in my foot and bad knees, and it's too harsh on my joints.
Yeah, you got to run on grass.
No, I don't like it. No? I don't like it because I'm constantly looking out for bird dog shit, and I just I get distracted too easily. So on the treadmill, I set up my little tripod, not tripod, my little hook onto the treadmill, and I just run and I watch footy. That's what I do.
Okay.
Yep.
I reckon after that one last week, I'd be doing it while I'm boxing. I reckon.
Yeah.
Let out some aggression.
Yeah. So. Yep, wasn't fun. I did not enjoy it at all, just to reiterate Jez's point.
Mm. You know, I've only been to the dentist twice in, like, 25 years.
Holy.
I went for the first time 6 months ago. Yeah, for about 18 years.
That's as bad as someone saying that they've never had a mole check.
Didn't have a problem. Didn't have a problem. As long as you eat healthily, drink lots of water. Don't drink soft drink. No. I don't floss. I clean 3 times a day. Don't floss. But just eat healthily and you won't need to go. Save yourself lots of money. Anyway, I'm getting some weird looks from fellow podcast members. It's true, though. All right. We're going to get
of a Collingwood supporter there.
Yeah, that's right. But I've actually got teeth left. Nothing else on the game. Do we move on?
Yep.
It was pretty forgettable, wasn't it? Douche and deity of the week. Now, I would suggest deity of the week. There may be a clear winner, but does anybody have any nominations?
Clear winner.
Yeah.
Clear winner.
Can I nominate the people of the northern suburbs for protesting on Saturday morning, Preston Market, Save Preston Market?
Is it going to work?
Apparently they've had a stay of execution for a little while because there's been a heritage overlay placed on the stalls, but
specifically on the vegetarian lasagna stall.
Hopefully. But what I would suggest is to anybody, just look up Save Preston Market. There is a website somewhere. I looked at it ages ago. Go on there and follow the instructions on hassling your local members, etc. Try and save it. So I'll give them a deity. And as usual, typical Preston fashion, it was pretty eclectic, shall we say, the protest. But that's my deity nomination. Any others?
Well, the clear winner, the Matildas. The that we're talking about is Matildas.
Matildas.
Yeah. So did we all watch it?
Absolutely.
It was not a fun. There was a lot of alcohol consumed and not a lot of fun times had from 1:45 p.m. yesterday to... What time did that shit finish? At 8 o'clock. There was not a lot of fun to be had until that final fucking penalty. What is with this fucking sport?
Well, did you just say 8 o'clock then deliberately? That's quite funny. Or did you say 8 o'clock?
I want to say that I said 8 o'clock just so
I'm going to use that anyway.
Very clever. Wow.
But that's for people that find that sport boring. When you're invested, you can see how the nature of the sport and how difficult it is to score and everything else, that actually adds to almost the excitement and the tension. So you definitely watched it, Fiona. Jez, you watched it, I assume?
Yeah, I watched I watched the second half and the extra time and the penalties. I didn't see the first half.
Yep.
Well, it's okay. Nothing happened. You know, probs. This is the thing with this sport. You can invest 90 minutes and nothing happened.
Cricket, you can invest 5 days and nothing happens.
Yes, you just described exactly why that sport is ridiculous.
Yeah, I must admit, the penalty shootout, like, it was thrilling at the end. And the thing about people criticise the women's version of the game, the fact that they nailed every single penalty, or many of them did multiple times, and they got to like round 10, I think it was. They're not called rounds, but by the 10th, round of penalties. The girls were just nailing it. It was sensational. Where did you watch, Christina?
I had the television on in another room.
I know the answer.
Yeah, I see. A precedent was set, and I haven't watched a Matilda's game, and they've won. So I'm like, I'm not going to break the precedent if it's been successful. So the telly was on the other room. I was in my bed, or on my bed, being distracted. And if I heard a roar or something, I'd sort of maybe pop out and have a look and go, oh, anything happened? Oh, okay, no, right, I'll go back. And sure enough, you know, they won. So
did you watch the penalty shootout peeking around the corner? How could you just like...
No, I couldn't. I just couldn't. I couldn't. I'm shocking. I'm like, I get too nervous. I'm like, I can't.
Don't you think it's a little bit almost self... What's the word? I don't want to say self-centered, but...
Narcissistic.
To think that you have the influence, like a superstition, you would have the influence on the game. Like, I'd never think that anything I would do would influence a game.
Excuse me, can I just bring to your memory about a scarf, wearing of a scarf and not wearing of a scarf for 20 years because you lost one fucking game 20 years ago?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was leading the witness there. That's right. I did. Yep. So I just my just to make it all about me. I broke the scarf hoodoo. So I think I was on the forecast, didn't I say? Yeah, on the forecast I said I'll wear the scarf. I haven't worn one since 1993. For those who didn't listen, in 1993 we were losing games. I stopped wearing a scarf. One day we won. I wore it again. We lost. And then we kept winning every time I didn't wear it. So ever since then I hadn't worn it. As Fiona pointed out, probably in retrospect, quite rightly, how's that gone for me in the last 20 years? Not that good. So I wore a scarf and we won. So, yeah, you got to break that hoodoo, Christina. It's not all about you. That's what I learned this weekend.
But it varies between situations and teams and, you know, it's not always the case. But just in this particular time, it's like, you know.
You know what was one of the best things about watching all the footage afterwards from everyone in all the different locations and on the planes and in the MCG and, you know, in London and everywhere, is it just a little part of me felt like sexism died for just a quick second, because cheering like crazy in those crowds were jocks, men of my age, of 60-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 15-year-olds, like jocks of the world going crazy, footballers, like macho men just going so crazy over the women winning that game. And it just felt like a little part of me felt so heartwarmed at seeing that. And I felt for a second that it felt unified for the first time ever. Yeah. And it just felt like there was no breach of gender, you know, it was equality for what it should be in those moments. And of course we all know that's not reality, but fuck, it felt good to feel a part of it and to feel on the same level. So well done, men. Don't often you're going to hear that from me, but yeah, well done.
It's almost kind of liberating in a way. It was. That it's just like they just follow the team because they're a great team.
Yeah, and that's right. It does. It breached all lines of women's footy, men's footy. Like it was just unity as a, you know, forget the patriotic stuff. It was just the gender quality. Really, really made me emotional just watching all the footage.
I agree. It was the shades of France winning the World Cup in 1998 with a mainly black team and a few Middle Easterns as well. Middle Eastern, I guess, origin, Moroccan in particular, like Zidane. And, yeah, that kind of unified the country. Yeah, it definitely had that sort of feel to it. And of course, I had to show the AFL commentators like supporting.
I thought that was great. I felt watching all the clubs and like, you know, Matthew Nix, the Adelaide coach, and the Lions coach. What's his name? Fagan stopped, like, didn't go to the press conferences after the game, and were huddled around one tiny little iPhone. I love it. Like, where do you see that? You know. men stopping for a woman's sport. Never. Like, that's
true.
I'll hold those memories, those visions in my head, because, you know,
chase down the footage of the Triple M box commentating. Yeah, that was fantastic. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, they just sort of cast the footy aside for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, it was great.
Is it possible to give like a super deity amongst the deity there, like to name Mackenzie Arnold in particular, because she was at the pointy end of that, right? So she's in the goals trying to stop the goals, and then she ends up taking a penalty, which would have won it for us, and missing. And then somehow has the strength of mind to go, oh, well, I'm going back to my line to start stopping goals again. Like, I just couldn't work out how, like, that's amazing mental toughness.
That is the strongest sense of self you ever see in a human, display. That is someone who has seen the barriers in her mind, faced the barriers, fallen over the hurdle, and then in quick succession has to pick herself back up mentally and topple and like hit the top of the peak, and she fucking did. Like, the whole game, I felt like you didn't want to cross her. She got this steely-eyed look. She just looked fucking focused.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
To go
but
from...
Can I just say, can the douche of the week be whoever made her take that penalty? What makes she's saving goals? Who, like, how is she? Oh, she looked like she never kicked a ball taking that penalty.
She would have.
But she said she didn't know in the interview after the game.
Really?
She said she had no idea that they just said go and do it.
But isn't the rule that everyone put an immense amount of pressure on her?
Yeah, it did. It really did. Did we run out of players? Like, why did she need to take it?
Isn't the rule that who's ever the finishing 11 on the field, they're the ones that have to penalty?
Yeah, but right? She took it quite early. She had like the fifth or sixth penalty. Yeah. Which normally the goalkeeper might go back. But there's plenty of precedents of goalkeepers taking penalties.
I found that weird. But that's a thing that's done, righto. Okay.
Yeah.
But they usually, if they're well-organized team, they've already planned who their goal kickers are, and they know normally well in advance, and they practice this just in case.
Well, so, as I was bringing my blood pressure back down to an acceptable live person's level, I was watching all the footage afterwards, and they interviewed her, and she said she didn't know she was going to do it. She got the signal, and then she just stood up and did it and missed. But, yeah, amazing, amazing strength.
Anyone got a douche of the week? Nothing?
Nope.
I'm going to give it to North Melbourne. So
supporters.
I had a – as usual, I had a freebie for Saturday. But this time the freebie – was actually at the Kangaroos' end of the ground, which I was surprised because their home game, but they're still at the other end of the ground to where we are, if that makes sense. So our cheer squad's still in the same spot, and they're kind of what would you describe at the northern end, I guess.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm in this bay, and it's all Kangaroos. And I'm looking around, and everyone's
wearing your scarf.
Everyone's got flags, yeah. So I've got a scarf now, so there's no hiding. Although anyone who sat with me at the footy knows there's no hiding anyway, because I'm quite loud. But I'm looking around, and people are taking selfies instead of like watching the game. Lots of selfies, lots of like standing up in groups, turning around, arms around each other. They're all quite young. They've got the Kangaroos flags, Kangaroos. Score a goal, they're like waving their flags. I'm looking around, and they're not typical Kangaroos looking supporters. People have teeth, they're well dressed. It was basically a whole bay of international students who'd been given free tickets Three flags. It was a renter crowd.
Oh my god.
North Melbourne, I can tell you, I can verify it. I was on the ground, investigative reporting. They are renting their crowds.
Wow.
These people had never been to a game. A whole fucking bay of them. It was bay, I'll be specific, it was bay like 32 to 29, I think it was. And they just had no idea. No idea about the game. And they all, a lot of them left, like, you know, started trickling out at like second quarter once they got all their photos and selfies. By the end of the game, they weren't there. But Kangaroos getting renter crowds. Who's surprised here? I'm not.
No.
Not in the slightest.
I don't know. I'm surprised. I've never heard of that. I mean, that's another way of looking at it, is to say if the Kangas fans can't get the real Kangas fans can't get there for Cunnington's farewell game, what the fuck's going on? Jesus. I've never heard of that. Rent a crowd. Bloody hell.
Well, they've lost 18 games in a row or something stupid like that. So I don't know how they many supporter all... groups. And they're not like West Coast, who won a flag 5 years ago.
Yes.
Those supporters could be like, okay, well, you know, it's a bit of a flag hangover, no probs. Kangaroos, tell you what.
It's a good point. I mean, I don't think many of them had English as a first language. So maybe Cunnington just had like a lot of homestay kids, maybe. Maybe he runs one of those, or he runs a B&B or something. But rent a crowd, Kangaroos. That's what we're faced with here. So whatever the capacity of that game was, you can take off at least three bays worth on the ground level. Anyway,
I thought you were going to say you got some lip from some mouthy Kangaroos.
Nah, but you know what? At one point, I think it was. Do you remember in the like very late in the third quarter? The umpire was just determined to give North Melbourne a goal before three-quarter time. And there were two of the softest free kicks given. Oh, no. It was when Cox, who was 2-on-1, took this amazing one-handed mark.
Oh, yeah. It was high fend-off. Was it that one?
And they gave it a high.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was like, I think it was then, and I got up and gave the umpire a spray, which was right in front of me. And the kids in front of me were like, Jesus Christ. And, yeah, that row might have left not long after. So,
oh, well, they're getting cultured, okay? They want to take the selfies. They need to get the whole experience.
Yeah, they got the whole experience.
The whole Nuffy experience.
I had the whole oral experience, for sure.
You might end up your own special TikTok.
Like, who knows?
I may be guy at football.
Yep, I may be on the socials right now.
The solution is ripping it up the Instagram in Seoul just at the moment.
Yeah, that's no doubt, no doubt. Seoul, Hanoi, you name your Asian, your Asian city. All right, next week we're going to get fucked on, aren't we? Does anyone disagree?
Well, Giants lost, so to Fremantle, was it? Is that what they were playing?
Yeah, no, Port Adelaide. No, just enough to push us into ninth.
No, Fremantle did what you should do to West Coast.
Yeah.
They kicked 18 in a row.
Yeah.
No, well, I did some research.
Nice to get 50 minutes into a podcast and the one person says they've done some research. That's great.
What do you mean 50 minutes, 10 years into this podcast, someone says they've done research?
I've done some research. I was thinking to myself, when was the last time we won a game at GWS? And it was actually more recent than I thought. It was 2018, but that's still a long time ago. Let me tell you a few things about that game. Mark Bagley was our equal leading goal scorer with three.
What? No, I don't believe it.
What? Yeah. I was ready playing forward. Oh.
Did he double his career tally?
That's how long ago it was. Zaharakis was in the team. Smack was in the team. It feels like a long time ago.
Oh, wow. That is atrocious to say, to putting it very, very plainly.
it's hard when you're playing against it's such a intense atmosphere with all those orange seats, empty orange seats. So we what you're telling us, Jez, is it's not a happy hunting ground.
Speaking of renting a crowd, if it's going to be anywhere, it's going to be out there.
Paddy Ambrose was in the team.
Oh, Patrick.
Sari
was in the alone team. Time, Fiona.
Matty D. Bloody hell. Look at that. BJ. What a team.
Only 5 years ago.
Matty D.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
That was 5 years ago. I thought those players feel like they've been gone for much longer than that.
Yeah, 2018. Yeah. Anyway, right. Long time.
Avoiding the subject, what do we think? Christina, what do you reckon? That's it. That's a game you should watch from the other room.
Yeah. Probably lose by 5.
Points or goals?
Points.
Ooh.
Because Stringer will be in.
Think?
Yeah.
Are we going to have like one last roll at trying to make finals? Is that what the point of bringing Stringer in?
Yeah. He was absolutely saved for this game, from this week to next week. I reckon Brad said us too.
Yeah, Brad pretty much said that, without saying it, that Stringer would be in.
Okay. That's good news. Does that change your view, Fiona?
They may even bring it will show how serious they are at trying to win finals if they bring Draper in. If they do bring him in and he's at 70-80% health, then you know they're serious about making finals. No, it doesn't change it for me. It'll be a 36-point loss.
Jez, got 5 points, 36.
We are going to break our 5-year hoodoo and we are going to win.
Ooh!
We're going to win with a goal after the siren from Andrew Phillips.
Oh,
what?
Playing against
how much have you had to drink?
Playing against his old club.
His OG.
And I think he'll do the job after the siren.
That's not, I don't want any part of that. I don't want any part of him marking it on the siren and then having to put my hopes in the hands of that big ginger man. You give me Ginger Pete, no probs. But if you put, no, I'm leaving
ginger
the room.
Ginger 4-meter ball drop?
Yeah. No, I don't want any part of that.
See, we could have Caldwell back in. We could have Setterfield in. We could have Stringer in.
We're just going to bring Sheil in and we've got all our GWS players.
Put Stuart in.
Forget drinks. You've been on the Lee and Gaffer mushrooms, Jez.
Oh, yeah.
Nah. We're going to lose by 20, I think. And 20 points will be honourable.
I thought I was being kind with 36. My heart actually wants to say 55-60, but
I'm with
just
you.
Because it's only because it's that giant stadium. If we played them here, I'd say maybe 20. But yeah, it's elimination final. It is, because whoever loses can't make it mathematically, officially. So it's an elimination final.
Incidentally, how did the mushroom lady escape a douche of the week? Is it because it's alleged?
Yes, I was about to say, has she been convicted? No, yet. Okay. We don't know yet. Let's not cast aspersions, shall we?
One of the survivors is getting a bit better. The priest or preacher said he's improved.
I know it's irrational. It's so fucking totally irrational, but I won't buy mushrooms this week. And I know it's safe and fine. But when I do my shop tomorrow and I buy mushrooms every week because I have them in my wraps and stuff, I won't buy them this week. And I know it's utterly irrational, but I'll give them a miss just for this week.
Are you going to throw out your dehydrator as well?
If I owned one, potentially maybe I'd go that far, but no.
It's got 12-part podcast written all over it, hasn't it, this saga?
Yeah, maybe a...
Hey.
a a bio.
We've got nothing to do in September. The Winstock murders. Let's do it.
Don't dangle that, because I'm a true crime person. I'm a fan.
We're going to take this offline. I've got an idea germinating. All right.
Uh-oh.
Well,
got to get the correspondent back, because I think he's an expert on the beef and mushroom pie.
He's an expert on anything that can be eaten.
Or drunk.
That's right. Okay. Song of the week. I did do a song of the week. It was to Carol King's amazing song, You've Got a Friend, which I just completely butchered. Turned it into You've Got Langford.
Homage.
Did anyone ever listen?
I did.
Are you shaking your head? Shocking. What do you think? For those who did listen.
It was, a beautiful homage, and I think he should receive a copy of it. Might just send him a link to it. What do you think?
Yeah. Don't send Snelling the one where I just
brazzed
him on his height the whole song.
That was a low blow, not going to lie. But I just feel like it's nice to be told when you're loved, you know.
Nice to be recognized.
And appreciated.
Well, to be fair, I think at the start of the year, Jez spoke very strongly about what you thought he would do this year and how important he'd be. And I think I was a little bit sceptical. That was this year, wasn't it? Or am I thinking last year?
No, that was this year.
That was this year, yeah. And he's proven you right. So he deserves the song. So anyway, have a listen. Any other comments before we go?
I just want to say, keep a close look on how many assists Martin will kick to Langford. Because they're housemates. And every time he kicks the ball to Langford, he says, do I get a discount on my rent?
Oh, I thought you'd say every time he gives him an assist, he's got to tickle his balls.
No. That's going a bit far. But it's becoming...
He'll get a fine from the AFL if he does that. Unbecoming behaviour.
How does that work, unbecoming behaviour?
Well, remember for the arse grabs, don't they give a fine to the club?
Yeah, I think the problem was that was in... that's where there's cameras.
Oh, I thought you were alluding to doing it on the field. What the fuck? Where is this going?
I don't know. I think it's time to go. Does anyone else have a comment before I sign off? Nothing?
No.
All right. We've lost the plot. All right. Well, thanks to everyone that listened. Only 2 weeks to go. Oh, by the way, and we have a Song of the Week finale last round, which is going to be worth the wait. So, anyway.
Is that the live one from the sauna where we're all, no?
That's right. Correct. And we didn't have to reveal ourselves because all the subscriptions stopped about 3 weeks ago. So thank God for that. But anyway, thanks to everyone that listened. Check out Something About Cake, the sponsor. And we'll see you next week.
See you.
Bye.
Hey, Bummers.
Hey, Bummers.
When you're down on the scoreboard and you need to kick a goal, then nothing, oh, nothing is going right. Lift your eyes and look for me, and soon I will be there to mop the ball, even against the flight. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come leading, oh, to mock it again. winter, spring, summer or fall. If you need to kick a goal, well, I'll be there, yes I will. Ain't it good to know that Danaher's gone? His kicking was so bad, yeah. It would hurt you, desert you. Would take your soul if you let it. But now we got Langford. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am. I'll come running and leading to market again. Winter, spring, summer or fall, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yes I will. You've got Langford, oh yeah, you've got Langford, you've got Langford, you've got Langford.